Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? It's been a while. I haven't been on here in like 3 shows. Just been busy, man. Been having a lot to do, getting my daughter situated with college, and other life situations where I haven't really had time to jump on. But I'm back on now. So with that, welcome to Questions and Answers, hosted by your man, T. Wash. I want to talk about NFL preseason week 3. I kind of typed up a typo. I said week 2, but it's really NFL preseason week 3. So we're getting closer and closer to the beginning of the regular season, which I can't wait for. But the NFL is back in full swing. So if you guys want to call in and let's discuss your favorite squad, what is your favorite squad doing? How are they looking so far in the preseason? How are the rookies looking for your squad you may root for? Also, I want to talk about Team USA basketball and how they looked in the exhibition game against Spain. What type of product are we sending over to Australia to compete for the gold? Is this a good squad? I mean, really, this is a guard-dominated squad that they got on the floor right now. But are they good enough to win the whole thing? We're going to have to see. But they played Spain in an exhibition game a few days ago, so just recap that, talk about that a little bit. I'm going to do a quick baseball rundown, you know, about the season. The season is about maybe a month away from being over, and then we're going to have the playoffs. And that's when I really get into baseball, is when the playoffs start. I mean, I'm a diehard Atlanta Braves fan. Been an Atlanta Braves fan since 1993. But I just cannot watch a full game anymore unless I'm actually at the event or, like I said, during playoff time. That's really the only time I can sit down and watch a full baseball game. Other than that, I can't do it. You know, I have to do highlights. So just talk about them a little bit, too, about the Braves and about the regular season as it's beginning to wind down. We begin to playoff baseball. So if you guys want to talk about any of these topics I'm presenting, or if you got topics that you want to talk about, then give me a call. Let your voice be heard. 1-347-843-4939. Once again, 1-347-843-4939. Like I said, it's been about a week and a half since I've been on. And like I said, it's because I've been doing things, you know, getting my kid set up in college and things like that. Really haven't had time. But I definitely have to jump on because, like I said, football season is coming. That's really when it's going to get fun for me. I have stuff to talk about all day once this football season starts. But I always start my show off with like a sports history saying, basically. Like, it's this website I go to that says, it's called On This Day in Sports History. So I like to go back and match up today's date with a past date of something that happened in sports history. So on this day, August 18th, 2016, the fastest man in the world, Jamaica's Usain Bolt, and he definitely was the fastest. I mean, this dude was a monster on the track. Never seen anybody as fast as him. He won the gold medal in the men's 200 meters for the 3rd successive Summer Olympics. So that dude, what, the Olympics is 4 years, every 4 years. So for 12 years, this dude won that event. And he won in blowout fashion. None of them were close. And he recorded a time of 19.78 seconds in Rio de Janeiro. Like I said, Usain Bolt was a monster, man. And I would love to have seen him, Carl Lewis, Ben Johnson, Justin Gatlin, you know, those type of guys on the track at the same time. Especially like a young Carl Lewis, a young Ben Johnson. Not Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson cheated. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. I forgot his name. I can't believe I forgot his name. He's American though, but he ran good too. See, Ben Johnson's from Canada. That's the wrong guy. He actually took steroids and stuff. So he's not a part of that. I don't want to say him. But I can't. Michael Johnson. There you go. Michael Johnson. I had to think about it for a minute. I like to see those guys on the track together. So, okay, get into NFL week 3 of the preseason. All right, well, to recap, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Jacksonville Jaguars, they played on Thursday night. The Eagles end up winning the game 24-10. And, you know, with it being preseason, especially week 2, we're going to see a lot of the no-name guys that's trying to make the squad. We're going to see a lot of rookies. You know, we're going to see a lot of Arena League guys. So, you know, the game, most of the game's not going to really be exciting. They just out there trying to prove that they could play so they get a spot on the team as a regular. But the quarterback they started was a quarterback named Clayton Thorson. I never heard of him. But he ended up finishing the game 16-26 passing, 175 passing yards, one touchdown, one interception. Cody Kessler, I heard of him. He used to play at USC, and he's played on many teams in the NFL. So he only had four attempts. He one completion, four attempts, and 11 yards. So the Clayton Thorson guy was the guy who, I guess, kind of proved himself. I mean, they all fighting to be the number two behind Carson Wentz because we know Carson Wentz is going to be the starter. And, you know, I'm kind of curious to see how he's going to be now that Nick Foles isn't around to back him up anymore. Carson Wentz is kind of injury prone. So can he play a full season? He hasn't done it yet. If he could play a full season, the Eagles might be nice. I mean, they just brought back I'm forgetting these people's name. They just brought back the one wide receiver they had before out of Cal, Deshaun. Oh, my God. I forgot his name. But they just brought back him. He's one of the speedy receivers that they had that used to be there. Deshaun Jackson. There you go. It came back to me. They just brought him back. And they still have the Smallwood guy carrying the ball in the backfield. And they even got Braxton Miller. I'm curious to see what he'll do. I mean, he only went one reception for 6 yards in the game, so that's really not much. But he hurt himself, and ever since he hurt himself and Houston cut him, he hasn't been right. You remember Braxton Miller. He was the starting quarterback at Ohio State a few years back, but we all knew that he was going to have to switch his position. He got to the NFL because he couldn't throw the ball. All right, so receiving, Greg Ward Jr., he had two receptions for 42 yards and a touchdown, so he's the only wide receiver to score a touchdown in the game. And Greg Ward Jr., if you don't remember him, he was the starting quarterback for the Houston Cougars in college. And he was like a scrambler. He could throw the ball a little bit, but not quite NFL level. So that's why they switched him to receiver. So he had to, he's trying to make the team as a receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles because he can't play quarterback. He, like I said, he was like really a scrambler. I mean, he could throw the ball a little bit, but not NFL caliber. Okay, so the Jacksonville Jaguars, like I said, they had 10 points, which is really nothing. Now, behind Nick Foles, I guess the job is going to be between a quarterback named Gardner Minshew and Alex McGaugh. Honestly, y'all, I don't know who none of these quarterbacks are. I have no idea who they are. But Gardner Minshew, he was 19-29 for 202 yards. So he got most of the starters' reps in this game. Thomas Rawls, I remember him. He ran the ball for the Seattle Seahawks. So now he's on the Jaguars, I guess trying to, like, solidify his spot. Maybe as the starter. Well, not the starter because he's going to be behind Leonard Fournette. So he's trying to, I guess, cement a spot as the number two back, maybe the third down back. the quarterback, the backup quarterback in this game, Alex McGall, he had 2 carries for 21 yards, and he got their only rushing touchdown of the night. And he averaged 10 yards a carry. So for those 2 carries for 21 yards, he had like 10 yards a pop. So I guess he's an athletic quarterback. But like I said, he can't throw the ball because he went 2 of 9 passing for 10 measly yards. So that's a perfect example of a scrambling quarterback who really can't pass the ball. So that game ended up being 24-10. Looks like the Eagles had most of the plays on defense. They had like 3 guys that had 3 sacks and 2 guys that had interceptions. So like I got to say, for a preseason game, I guess the Eagles dominated them 24-10 and really weren't much of a contest. All right, so the next game, you got the Bengals and the Redskins. And I'm kind of curious about this game because I want to see how the Redskins quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, did. I'm wondering if he's going to be able to beat out Case Keenum for the job since Alex Smith is still hurt. And saying Alex Smith might not be back this season either. So one of these guys is going to have to be the quarterback for the Redskins. And Dwayne Haskins, he went 50% as far as his completions. 7 of 14, 114 yards, 1 touchdown. Case Keenum, that's crazy. That's crazy about Case Keenum because, what, not even 2 years ago, he was like the toast of Minnesota for the Vikings. Got them to the NFC championship game and got dusted by the Eagles. Then he went to Denver last year. Denver gave him a pretty good contract. And he didn't do good there. And so they just, you know, wiped their hands clean of him. So now he's trying to get a starting job with the Washington Redskins. Like I said, at least the Alex Smith come back. Because Alex Smith, once he comes back, he's going to be the starter. Unless Dwayne Haskins can really do something big time and take this spot and, you know, maybe have old Alex Smith retire or something. Maybe they'll force him to retire and just give him his money. But Case Keenum ended up going 3 of 7 for 52 yards. Old man Adrian Peterson still running the ball. So he's going to go into the season being your starting running back. In this game, he finished with 4 carries for 31 yards. So you're not going to see a lot of the starters, you know, get a lot of run. Because that's the worst thing that could happen, man. You don't want your main players getting hurt in the preseason. I mean, that'll suck because, you know, you're going to lose it for the regular season. Honestly, if it was up to me, I would have these guys play like maybe 2 preseason games, you know, just to let them warm up. You know, all those guys that's trying out, I get them a few games. You know, whoever make it, you make it. If you don't, then I got to let you go. Because, you know, they got to cut the roster down. They're going to start roster cutting outs here pretty soon. It's usually what? Going into training camp is usually what, like 96 players on your roster? You got to cut that down to 53. I think if these guys play 2 preseason games, that's good enough. I mean, hell, they can tell if the guy's selling it or not, and they can just cut down their roster. It should take 2 games before they can cut their roster down to their 53, their main 53, and then go from there. Because it sucks when a player on your favorite team gets hurt in the preseason, and then you don't see them for the regular season at all. Especially when there's a season-ending injury. I mean, it happened to my boys 2 years ago when Julian Edelman tore his ACL in the game against the Lions. He was done for the whole season. But, you know, of course, the Patriots still made it to the Super Bowl. They just, unfortunately, couldn't get one damn stop against the Eagles. And I blame that one on Belichick because if Malcolm Butler played in that game, I don't care what nobody tells me. If Malcolm Butler plays in that game, Patriots win that Super Bowl. But for whatever reason, Belichick didn't play him. I don't know what happened. I don't know the reason why. I don't know why he set him out, but he did. Dwayne Haskins carried the ball 1 time for 6 yards. And as far as the receiving core for the Redskins, Hey, old man Vernon Davis still out there running. That's cool. Well, old Vernon Davis, a tight end. If you remember Vernon Davis, man, he was a stud when he was with the 49ers. That's who he started off with when he came out of NC State. He started with the 49ers, and he was a beast until he started, you know, racking up injuries. Once some injuries came, it kind of, like, tailed his game down some. But, hey, he's still out there. Two receptions for 43 yards. Robert Davis, I have no idea who he is, but he had one reception for 55 yards and one touchdown. And like I said, a lot of these stats and things like that are meaningless because this is just preseason. As I said, a lot of guys are just out there to try to make the squad, try to prove they could play at this NFL level and make the squad. So I'm not going to read all these little stats. I'm just going to say the major ones, you know, the player and the player who got the major stats. Like on defense, Jimmy Moreland, he led the team in tackles with 5. Okay. A player named Monte Nicholson was the only player to have an interception in the game for the Redskins. All right, now to the sad bungles. Okay. Oh, hey, Andy Dalton took some reps in this game. Ryan Finley started. He went 20 of 26 for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. And the actual starter, Andy Dalton, he got 9 reps in. He played. He went 5-9 for 36 yards, but he threw a pick. And then the Jeff Driscoll guy. So they actually got 3 guys. And Ryan Finley and Jeff Driscoll are competing for that number 2 quarterback spot. And Jeff Driscoll, he's more of an athletic quarterback. He can run the ball, too. But as far as his passing game, he went 5-8 for 57 yards. He ran the ball twice for 17 yards. So that's that athleticism I'm talking about. So he's probably the most athletic quarterback out of the 3. But like I said, Andy Dalton, he's been the starter for the last seven years. So I don't see him not being the starter, you know, this year. And so they went with Finley for most of the game, you know, most of the reps. But I guess they let Andy Dalton get in there just to get loose and, you know, sling a few. Okay, so the wide receiver, Damian Willis, and they're going to need another receiver to go alongside Tyler Boyd, who's the new star of their team now as far as receiving core. Because I hate to say it, but our man A.J. Green, who used to be a beast, you know, he's getting older. He's starting to get more injury prone. I mean, he's trying to rack up more injuries. So his stock is dropping, especially in fantasy. A.J. Green, not even the first. I remember back in the days where A.J. Green was a first, second, you know, third at the least. Third round pick. Not AJ Green going to like the 5th, 6th, 7th round now. So AJ Green's stock is dropping. That's because of, you know, all the years of wear and tear and constantly getting hit. And he's one player I don't understand why he don't just lead the Bengals, go to a winning squad where he has a chance to try to win the Super Bowl title, like the Patriots. That'd have been beautiful. I was kind of hoping the Patriots would have tried to make a deal for him in the offseason, but they didn't. But like I said, Damian Willis led the Bengals in receiving with 5 receptions for 59 yards. Let's see some familiar names. Oh, Tyler Boyd, their best receiver. He had 1 reception for 8 yards, so he really didn't put in no work. You know, like I said, the starters, they're not going to put in work. Why? Why take the risk of getting hurt and being done for the year? That just, you know, screws up the team season. Okay, as far as their defense, Jordan Evans led the way with 3 tackles. Kerry Wynn had 1 sack. Deshaun Davis had 1 sack. Jordan Willis had 1 sack. Emmanuel Turner had 1 sack. Wow, they had 4 sacks as a squad. So the Bengals, like I said, they put up 23 points. Seemed like they played some decent defense. They made, you know, some of the players made some plays. Redskins is only able to muster up 13 points. And that's it for them. I mean, like I said, really not much to go on because it's the preseason. All right, so the next game you had was the Jets and the Falcons. I am curious to see how Sam Darnold's doing, and I want to see how he's going to do during the regular season. I like Sam Darnold. He just happens to play, you know, in the AFC East, where as long as Bill Belichick is there, they're going to have that division sold up. I see the Jets and the Bills fighting for that number two spot. But I like Sam Darnold. I think he's going to be good. I mean, he showed some flashes last year as a rookie. And he, you know, he got in the game. He played, what, 5 of 7 for 46 yards. Then Luke Falk out of Washington State, 4 of 4 for 41 yards, 1 touchdown. He's a rookie. Okay. Rushing, Ty Montgomery, 7 carries, 36 yards. He had 1 touchdown, so he scored their only rushing touchdown. Okay, familiar name. Bilal Powell, he's normally their starting running back. He had 5 carries for 20 yards. Okay, their receivers. I like Quincy Inouye. He's pretty good. Oh, and we know Le'Veon Bell's going to be the starter as far as the Jets. Bilal Powell will probably be the backup. They might have Ty Montgomery as the third down running back. But as far as the backup running back, I think it's probably going to be Bilal Powell because he's been the starter. But there's no way he is start over Le'Veon Bell. Certainly when Le'Veon Bell could give it to you running, he'd give it to you passing. He's going to be a year fresh. So I'm curious to see how he's going to look in the Jets offense this year. Especially, you know, they were saying that Le'Veon Bell and the coach were already having issues. So how's that dilemma going to work itself out? Robbie Anderson and Quincy Inouye were the Jets' top receivers last year. And Robbie Anderson had 3 receptions for 32 yards. Quincy Inouye, 2 for 14. Deontay Burnett is the one Jets receiver that scored a touchdown for him. 2 receptions, 24 yards, 1 touchdown. All right, that Jets defense, Jamal Adams, who's always, you know, he's been a monster since he came in as a rookie. He had 4 tackles, 1 sack. Let's see, there's another player that's a highlight player on their team pretty much. Really, he's truly their best player. They got a defensive tackle that's all right. Leonard Williams. He's pretty good, but I see he didn't get any reps in this game. He didn't play. But he's pretty good. You know, he could bust through the line and get a couple sacks here and there. So him and Jamal Adams are probably the best defensive player that they have. The Falcons, I want to see what they're going to do. You know, hey, Matt Ryan, coming off a disappointing season. You know, honestly, ever since the Falcons lost the Super Bowl, they haven't been the same. But Matt Ryan, hey, he got a lot of reps in this game. That's shocking. You know, most starters, you know, they do their dress auditions like game four. You know, once game four come, that's when the starters will probably play like a quarter and a half or two, you know, starting defense, play like a quarter and a half or two. It's considered like a dress rehearsal for the regular season. And then that last game of the preseason, they won't play at all. It'll be back to the rookies and the guys that's trying to make the squad. So I'm kind of surprised that Matt Howard was out there long enough to throw for 10 of 14, 118 yards. He didn't throw any touchdowns, but it seemed like he got a lot of reps in. And we already know they running backfield, man. They got Devontae Freeman. He's going to be the starter. But he only got one carry for 2 yards in this game, you know, because why give him starting, you know, why give him starters carries in the preseason? So Quadri Olison led the way with 9 carries, 44 yards. Ito Smith, 5 carries, 13 yards. He scored the only rushing touchdown for the Falcons. Receiving, Jaden Graham led the way with 4 receptions and 55 yards. Okay, tight end Austin Hooper, Calvin Ridley, who I expect to have a better season. I had him in fantasy as a rookie, and he was so-so. 1 week he'd give me points, the next week he'd give me nothing. So I expect Calvin Ridley to, you know, start getting more receptions this season, you know, as compared to last year. Then, of course, you know, they got Julio Jones on that other outside. You know, of course, he didn't play at all in this game. I don't expect to see Julio Jones. He might be in the dress rehearsal game. So week four or five, I expect to see Julio Jones and the regular Atlanta offense, because that's, you know, that's the dress rehearsal for the regular season. But until then, you know, guys like that, they'll be dumb to risk injury on those guys. So just sit them out. Jasmine Trufant, cornerback. He led the team with 5 tackles. Vic Beasley, linebacker, led the team with 1 sack. And those really are your defensive standouts for the Falcons. And once again, Jets win that game 22-10. Okay, and then you got the Packers and the Ravens. Ravens win the game 26-13. Okay, for the Packers, you have some guy that I've never heard of named Tim Boyle, who passed the ball for 107 yards and 1 touchdown. He went 12-21. And Deshaun Kizer, who's not good, who I actually thought was good when he was in Notre Dame, but when he got to the NFL, he didn't do much of anything. So Deshaun Kizer, he went 5-10 for 70 yards. Manny Wilkins, 1-2 for 14. So I'm pretty sure that backup to Aaron Rodgers is probably going to be Deshaun Kizer. I have no idea who this Tim Boyle guy is, unless Tim Boyle really just blow it out the water to get that number 2 quarterback spot. It'd probably be Deshaun Kizer. Rushing, Darren Hall, 7 carries for 31 yards. I don't know who he is. Trey Carson, Dexter Williams, 6-9 and 3-5. Wide receiver, Geronimo Allison, who probably might start alongside, well, start on the other end, the other side of Davante Adams. Now, I'm wondering who's going to be their slot receiver. It's going to be one of the guys with the two last names. Something Valdez Scanton and Aquemius St. Brown, I think that's his name. One of those two guys will probably be in the slot. But Jerome Allison had 2 receptions for 29 yards. Jake Kumerow, I've heard about this. Somebody, a Packer fan, was telling me about this guy, Jake Kumerow, telling me to watch out for him, that he'll probably make the squad. He had 3 receptions for 52 yards. Jimmy Graham, who's probably going to be, yeah, he will be starting tight end, but I don't know. He's so disappointing to me, man. Ever since he left Drew Brees in New Orleans, he hasn't been right. And I guess the thing that turned me off about Jimmy Graham is when they played New England, they played up in New England, up in Foxborough, and Aqib Talib put a lick on him. He put that lick on him, and Jimmy Graham just disappeared the whole game. And that was a big game. That was a game that the Saints were winning. And, you know, Brady had to pull out the magic and get a last-second game-winning touchdown. And ever since then, Jimmy Graham, I don't know, when he left New Orleans, man, he just hasn't been right. He went to Seattle, he's a disappointment. Now he's with Green Bay, he was a disappointment last year. So he needs to have a big season if the Packers and their fans got aspirations of the Packers getting to the Super Bowl, Jimmy Graham gonna have to be a big part of that. And I don't know, man. I'm not gonna believe it until I see it. Because like I said, he hasn't been right since he left New Orleans. All right, on defense. Blake Martinez, linebacker, 3 tackles. Someone named Chandon Sullivan. Yeah, he led the team with 4 tackles. Okay, where's my boy from Louisville, the cornerback? I liked him. What'd he do? Jair Alexander, there you go. He only had 1 tackle. I expect him to have a better season than he did his rookie year. He's a good corner, man. He's good at Louisville, and he came into the league and played, had a good rookie season, so I expect him to get better. As far as the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, I'm curious to see if he can, you know, is he going to be able to throw the ball better this year, or is he going to just scramble? They got to cut down his scrambling because he's going to end up getting hurt. And I don't want him to be like RG3 was. You know, that's what hurt about RG3, seeing RG3 go down the way he did. He was on his way to having a good career. But, you know, he ran the ball too much. And when he ran so much, he took licks and, you know, basically messed his legs up. And now RG3 isn't the same no more. And he's on this Ravens team. So that's a good thing, is that he can help mentor Lamar Jackson. Hopefully he can, you know, tell Lamar Jackson not to run so much. But Lamar Jackson ended up going 6-10 for 58 yards passing against the Packers. And let me go to the rushing. I'm curious to see if he did any rushing in this game, because that's what he do. He did. He ran the ball only twice, 2 for 14 yards. And like I said, we know he can do that. We know that Lamar Jackson can run the ball. It's just a matter of, can he pass it? New addition, Mark Ingram from New Orleans. He ran the ball 4 times for 18 yards. Someone named Justice Hill. I have no idea who he is, but he ran the ball 10 yards for 49 yards and 10 carries for 49 yards and 1 touchdown. Now, you don't hear me say a lot. I don't know a lot, you know a lot of who know a lot of who these cats are, which I don't. I mean, these are guys that's trying to make the squad who haven't made a name for themselves, and you just don't know. They trying to get their name out there. As far as receiving, the player of note is Willie Snead. He was there last year. And Hayden Hurst was a rookie tight end last year. He only had 1 catch for -1 yards, so he didn't get anything. But Willie Snead had 1 catch for 17 yards. He's a normal starter, so he probably wasn't going to get a lot of minutes, you know, a lot of time out there on the field. And I'm curious to see how the Ravens' defense is going to be this year. Are they going to be any better? Because they lost a lot of players. And in this game, Otoro Laka led the team with 4 tackles, I'm sorry. Alvin Jones, 1 sack. Aaron Adeo, 1 sack. So those really the standouts on defense. So the Ravens win 26-13. Then you have the Raiders and the Cardinals. And if you want to call in and talk about your team, I mean, who do you root for? What team do you root for? How are they looking this preseason? Who are you looking forward to seeing play on the team that you root for? Call in. Let's talk about it. 1-347-843-4939. I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'll be right back. Huh?
My windows rolled down.
Dang. It's summer early in the morning, Pop saying he needs me. But I'm being lazy, I say that I'm sleepy. Can I please, please skip today? They taking it easy while I'm grinding every day. They won't notice, believe me. He told me no, no, see, that's what they want you to think. You gotta see that you are a reflection of me. Can't you see it now, Coach Beasley? How cold, get to skip, but we can't miss it. Has to even out, you can't treat us different. So that's just how he treated me. But now I see the difference, made me who I spring to be. Well, all the ones I tried to bring with me to lead, just pissed the fact I leave the team at home regretting what they need to be. I'm thankful I got fam who made me this. I'm glad they actually gave a shit. That's why I never fail, cause they would never fail me. Then I thank them with some land, a brand new place.
There's never one way to ever do one thing. And I know it's time to brush trace to try and figure what change. How some break, so they try to hem ya late. Everybody is so afraid of what's different, but nobody is the same. So come just how you play.
I ain't never wanna be nobody but myself. Try to fit in what they tell you, but it's something else. I'm trying to set the standard, not just go with what is going well. Working for another isn't what you show and tell. So I ain't never wanna be nobody but myself. Try to fit in what they tell you, but it's something else. I'm trying to set the standard, not just go with what is going well. What's working for another isn't what you show and tell. Simple-minded, don't excel. Thinking different is a gift. I wanna be the mold. Everybody trying to fit. They, if you wanna be cold, gotta do it like this. Who's the top of the totem pole? Who defines what is? They ain't worried about nothing but the unknown, y'all. Gripping something foreign like they normal to it all. That's how I'm trying to live it, so I live with my y'all. I can only do some me, I cannot give them my y'all. No.
Buffalo Bills, formerly of the Dallas Cowboys, slot receiver. I didn't even know he rapped, but he's not a bad rapper. Guys, if you want to call in and talk about anything, you got any topics you want to talk about, you want to talk about what I'm talking about, or you want to talk about what you want to talk about, you got any topics for me in regards to sports, entertainment, call in with it. Otherwise, I'm talking about NFL preseason week 3. I'm about to get ready to talk about USA basketball because I feel like talking about basketball now. And as far as USA basketball, they beat Spain 90-81 a few days ago. And if you remember Spain, of course you know the usual suspects are there. Well, Paul Gasol's not playing anymore. I don't think he's playing anymore. He's kind of up there in age, and he should be about ready to retire. But Marc Gasol's still there, and he had 19 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. He played a pretty good game, went 3 or 4 from the three-point line. Then you had the floor general, Ricky Rubio, who had 16 points, 3 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 steals. Ricky Rubio even shooting jump shots now. You know, Ricky Rubio always been a passer. And then you got old veteran Rudy Fernandez. I used to like him, you know, when they used to play the dream, you know, play USA team in the Olympics. He always balled for Spain. But he only had like 6 points this time, though. You know, he's getting up there in age. He ended up coming to the league and playing for Portland for a few years. But I always liked him. He's a good player. He's athletic, about 6'6". Rudy Fernandez used to be able to shoot the ball, go to the basket. Like I said, much of that is pretty much done now. He's just out there, you know, balling now. He really can't do all that no more now because he's older, but he's still playing. that Juan Hernan Gomez kid, he's played in the league before. His name sounds familiar. I think he played with the Knicks. But he had 4 points, one rebound, two steals, two blocks. You know, but Spain, I mean, I don't see them, like, doing anything big time, you know, as far as, you know, when they get over to Australia and play these games. They're good enough to get the silver or the bronze. I mean, they're good enough to get the bronze. I'm going to give Spain the bronze. I mean, all in all, the USA should win again. So if they don't, you know, it's going to be disappointing. Then you had Sergio Lalua, who had 11 points, 6 assists, 2 steals. Played a decent floor game. And then you got a whole bunch of other guys I don't even know about. I don't know who they are. They probably just play, you know, over one of the Spanish teams overseas. But, you know, they playing for their countrymen. They represent their countrymen. They represent Spain. As far as the USA, you got Harrison Barnes. He only had 2 points and 3 rebounds, 1 assist. And it's crazy. I remember I didn't like Harrison Barnes at all when he was in North Carolina. I thought he was overrated. And when he went to Golden State and Golden State drafted him, his few years at Golden State, he played pretty good. So I have to, like, take back what I said about Harrison Barnes. He's not a bad NBA player. He played decent season in Dallas. But now he's with the Kings. Then you got Kemba Walker. You got the Boston connection. You got 4 Boston guys on this team. And that's a good thing, man. All these guys are playing with each other on the United States Olympic team. You know, getting warmed up with each other, getting used to each other. So when they hit the floor as Boston Celtics, maybe they could do some things. And I do think Boston's going to be good enough to at least finish maybe 3rd or 4th in the East.
I think they'll be good enough to do that.
It's going to be the Bucks, the Sixers, and either the Celtics or the Pacers. I'm going to say the Pacers. That's going to be in that top 4 spot. The Kemba Walker ended up finishing with 11 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals. Mason Plumlee, he was basically just a utility guy. He just had 2 rebounds. He's normally like a 10-rebound guy. He only had 2. Then Donovan Mitchell, Utah star, 13 points, 4 rebounds. And like I said, this is a guard-dominated team. Then you had Chris Middleton, who had 12 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Kyle Kuzma, who I like a lot, and I'm glad the Lakers kept him because I think he meshed great with LeBron. And, you know, honestly, his rookie season was better than number 2 draft pick Lonzo Ball. So I wanted them to keep Kyle Kuzma. I always thought Kyle Kuzma was good. I mean, he could shoot the ball. He'd go to the basket. He's tough. He's not scared. But he ended up finishing the game with 7 points and 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Miles Turner from the Pacers, who is really disappointing to me because all he does is shoot jump shots. But he's a rim protector. He blocks shots too. He had 2 blocks in this game. He had 8 points. He had 3 rebounds to go along with those 2 blocks. But he kills me. He makes me upset because he shoots too many 3-point shots. It's like, dude, you 7 feet. We know you can shoot the ball, but you need to get your big butt inside too. Hit him up on that post. You can't be 7 foot, man. It's like everybody trying to be like Kevin Durant, man. Everybody can't be Kevin Durant. Hell, Kevin Durant might not be Kevin Durant no more after he come back out of this this ACL here heal up. I mean, not ACL, but this Achilles heal up. A lot of guys don't come back right after they tear their Achilles tendon. You lose a lot of explosiveness, and I got a feeling KD gonna lose some explosiveness, meaning he ain't gonna be able to just break down defenders and go to the basket the way he used to, basically being a 7 foot two guard. He might not be able to do that no more. But the thing he will have is he'll still be able to shoot over everybody. And I don't expect him to lose his shooting touch. So Kevin Durant might turn to strictly a jump shooter when he come back. I don't think he's going to be going to the basket the way he used to. Because I don't know anybody that's came back, you know, and played the way they were once they tore their Achilles. I mean, Dominique Wilkins, the human highlight film, one of the best dunkers of all time. He didn't come back right. He tore his Achilles. It was over. He became a jump shooter. He wasn't even going in the hole no more the way he used to. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. KD's my boy. That's my favorite player in the NBA. Then after him comes Damian Lillard. But he's my favorite player. And I hope he come back the way he did, but it just don't happen. You tell your Achilles, man, you're not going to be right anymore. Okay, so next you have Jason Tatum. You know, like I said, that Boston connection. They got four guys. Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart. All those guys are representing on the USA team. So I believe that's going to help Brad Stevens, Danny Ainge, and the Celtics organization out big time, having all these guys play with each other during the summer in meaningful games. So when they get over here to Australia, this was just an exhibition game against China. I mean, against Spain. The real deal is going to be when they go over there to Australia. That's when it's going to be the real deal. They're going to be playing. You know, they're going to play the pool, you know, the games in the pools, you know, the different pool games. And then after that, there's going to be elimination games. And we're going to see. Are they going to be able to whitewash everybody and go straight through the tournament and not lose a game? That's the pressure that's on the U.S. The U.S. is expected not to lose any games. The 92 Dream Team kind of messed it up for everybody. They went straight through and waxed everybody. All the games were blowouts. Not all the USA teams are expected to do that because they got pros playing on the team. I think they should put it back to the way it used to be. Have the top college players play on the USA Dream Team, you know, Olympic team. Why not? Let the top college players go over there and see what they can do. Just like I want to see, I would like to see the NBA go to an NCAA tournament format. Just 1 year, one and done, NCAA tournament fashion. But the NBA never do that because they don't want to give up that money, man. Having all their games go seven games, you know, having all their series go seven games, man, that's money. That's bringing in money for the NBA. Because if you old enough to remember, NBA playoffs, the first round went five games back in the day. Five. Then the second round and so on would go seven-game series. But the first round used to be five games because a lot of teams used to get three-game sweeps. Win three straight games, series over. They changed all that because they figure these seven-game series would be more money. And I really think that the NBA would be able to make money if they switch it to a NCAA format. What, it's 32 teams in the NBA? Maybe put like 24 teams in. Let 24 teams get in the tournament. Throw all their names in the hat, mix it up, pick them, pull them. Matchups will be matchups, see where it go. I think that would be so fun, man. Well, the Sacramento Kings get hot and just beat everybody. Win like 10 straight games, going to 10-game winning streak, win the NBA championship. People would be pissed. But I think that would be fun, man. Why not? I think the NBA should do something like that. But like I said, it'll never happen. Just like it looked like it'll never happen that you know, the USA Olympic team and go back to college format the way it used to be when they picked the best college players. It'll never go back to that. They got a taste of, you know, the professional basketball players dominating the world, with the exception of a few years, you know, like the Olympic team my man Allen Iverson was on. They actually lost. They won the silver. They lost, man. They didn't win the gold. They won the silver. It would have been nice to see my boy AI get a gold, but he didn't. Okay, so back to the stat sheet. You got Joe Harris, who's a good shooter for the Brooklyn Nets. And I want to see how the Brooklyn Nets going to turn out because, like I said, Kyrie's there now. And I believe Kyrie's going to jack the team up because Kyrie's not an alpha. Kyrie's a number two guy. Kyrie proved that he can't lead, and he's going to have to lead this year. He's going to have to lead this year like he needed to lead the Boston Celtics last year. He's going to need lead the New Jersey. Well, see, I'm so used to him being in New Jersey. He's going to have to lead the Brooklyn Nets this year. And I just don't think Kyrie got that in him, man. I don't think he's the leader. I don't think he's leadership material. Honestly, I think Kyrie's a little crazy. You know, the stuff, the off-the-wall stuff he say, throwing teammates under the bus. I can see him doing the same thing, you know, for the Brooklyn Nets. They start off pretty good, and then once they hit, like, a dry patch or, you know, things start happening in a negative way, then Kyrie going, you know, he going to go off on his own, man. He's going to start blaming people, and next thing you know, the Nets are going to be playing like crap. So I think once KD get back, you know, Alpha will be back in the house, and then Kyrie will be able to go back down to his number two slot, and who knows, maybe the Clippers, Nets will do some, you know, do something special. I said Joe Harris is a good shooter, good defender. He's perfect fit for the Brooklyn Nets and what they would need to go along with a healthy KD and Kyrie. Then they got my man Caris LeVert. He's pretty good out of Michigan. He got hurt, you know, for a lot of the season last year, but when he was there, he balled. And the Brooklyn Nets made the playoffs for the first time in about 4 years last year, so you can't do nothing but get better. Okay, then you had De'Aaron Fox, who ended up leaving the team. I have no idea why he left the team, but he left the team. He had 2 points and one assist. That's it. Jaylen Brown, that third piece of that Boston connection that's on this USA team. 9 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. You know he plays defense. Tough kid. Good fit for this team. Good fit for the Boston Celtics. You have Brook Lopez. And a lot of these guys on this team, because a lot of the mainstay players they asked to play turned it down. They asked Damian Lillard, he turned it down. Of course, you know, they asked guys like Steph Curry and Draymond Green, and all those guys turned it down. They didn't want to do it. So these are kind of like the second-tier guys. None of these guys on this squad are like, you know, standalone stars on their teams. Well, Kemba Walker probably would be the best player. Well, I don't know. Because Jason Tatum, I think he has the potential to be the best player on the Celtics. But Kemba Walker's already proven. So I would say Kemba Walker's probably the best player on their team. But they don't have any, like, I mean, Donovan Mitchell's good, too. But they don't have any transcendent players on this team. They got a bunch of good players that should win this tournament. And I believe they should go straight through and not lose a game. But I don't know. I mean, they got to deal with the Australians. They got to deal with the, you know, the Spains again. You know, they're going to have to deal with the Venezuelans and everybody. Canada, you know, deal with Canada. So we got to see how good this team's going to be. And I guess we'll be finding out here pretty soon. Brook Lopez, 8 points, 2 rebounds, 2 blocks. Let me see how many threes he took, because that's all he did when he was with the Bucks, man. He just take threes, 7-footer. He used to play in the inside. Now all of a sudden he's become a 7-foot three-point shooter who rarely plays inside. He went 1 of 2 from the three-point line. Derek White from the Spurs, he came out of nowhere. I had no idea who he was last season, but he's the ball for the Spurs. I think he was a rookie last year, or either he in his second year. He ended up having 4 points, one rebound, one assist, one steal. And then lastly, Marcus Smart, who didn't play, but he's a part of that Boston connection, like I was saying. Four Boston guys on this squad. But we know what Marcus Smart does. He plays defense. He's not really much of a scorer. He's going to do the dirty work, and he's going to play tough physical defense for you. So, I don't know, in a nutshell, man, this team, I think they'll be okay. I don't know how good they could actually be. I don't know. They beat Spain 9-81, and that was just an exhibition game. So, like I said, we have to see when they get down to the real deal how they'll do. I don't know. As far as some more football scores, you had Oakland beating Arizona 33-26. And Derek Carr went 2 for 2 for 40 yards, one touchdown. So he threw a touchdown. He's the starting quarterback. He got in there and threw a touchdown, so that's good. You know, just to get the blood flowing, man. Nathan Peterman, oh my God, he's on their squad. He got to be like the worst backup ever. He sucked. He played for the Bills. He's horrible. And then they got Mike Glennon, who used to play for Tampa Bay. Got a lot of money from Tampa Bay. Jameis Winston came and took that spot. And so now he with the Raiders. He played pretty good. 11 of 14, 175 yards, two touchdowns. So basically him and Peterman will be fighting for that backup spot to Derek Carr. And I would definitely take Mike Glennon over Nathan Peterman. He's probably one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. I don't understand how he still got a job in the league the way he played for Buffalo. He's horrible. He's damn near worse than Brian Hoyer, Patriots backup. Okay, so for Oakland with the Raiders, the starter is going to be Doug Martin, the pocket hamster, who used to play for Tampa Bay. He's probably going to be the starter. And then you got Josh Jacobs, rookie running back out of Alabama. He's been playing pretty good. He had 4 carries for 21 yards. Those probably going to be your two backs. But you never know with Gruden throw a monkey wrench in anything. You know, this James Butler kid or Mac Brown, who knows, maybe they might be starters. We don't know where Gruden. As far as receiving, Tyrell Williams. I wanted the Patriots to get Tyrell Williams. He used to play for San Diego. The Raiders ended up getting him. He got one reception for 27 yards. They were led by Rico Gafford. One reception, 53 yards. So that was a bomb. One touchdown. Ryan Grant, they used to play for the Redskins. He's with the Raiders now. 1 for 13, one touchdown. Derek Carrier, 2 receptions for 9 yards and one touchdown. So the Raiders kind of had some offensive firepower in this game against Arizona. Kyler Murray, he's been a little disappointing. You know, they already have him as the starter. But he had he was 3 of 8. 3 completions, 8, you know, missed completions. 12 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. The Cardinals were led by Brent Hundley, who was a disappointing player for the Packers. Aaron Rodgers got hurt. He had like he didn't know how to play anymore. You know, he didn't know how to play. I mean, he's okay at UCLA, but I don't think he was really ready for the NFL spotlight. But he ended up going 10 of 15 for 139 yards and one touchdown. Drew Anderson, 6 of 9, 59 yards, one touchdown. And like I said, Kyler Murray, he hasn't been too great. You know, he's trying to adjust to the speed of the NFL. It's not Oklahoma, so he's just going to have to get used to it. As far as the Cardinals and their rushing attack, David Johnson is going to be the starter, of course. But he only got a few reps in this game. 4 carries for 6 yards. Brent Hundley carried the ball 3 for 26. And there were no rushing touchdowns scored for the Arizona Cardinal offense. Rookie Andy Isabella out of UMass. The reason I know him is because they were saying that the team I root for was looking at him. But he had one reception for 59 yards and a touchdown. So he the one who caught the long bomb for a touchdown. Farrell Cooper, 3 receptions for 40 yards. Trent Sheffield, 1 for 40. So they had a lot of guys that had receptions in this game, but they still lost 33-26. Okay, so next, you got the Bills against the Panthers. The Bills end up winning the game 27-14. Then you had the Dolphins and the Bucks. The Bucks won 16-14. New York Giants and the Bears. Damn, Eli Manning. I just don't like nothing about the Giants and Eli. Oh my God, I can't stand Eli Manning. He got to be the luckiest quarterback ever, man. He's gonna forever be like the luckiest quarterback ever. But they beat the Bears 32-13. I do like their rookie quarterback, Daniel Jones out of Duke. He's been playing pretty good, and I can see him surpassing Eli and taking his spot midway through the season if Eli don't start off good. I think that New York crowd going to be calling for Daniel Jones because he's been looking good in the preseason. Tall, about 6'5", throw the ball, can run the ball. I think he's probably going to supplant Eli. Eli start off, have a rocky start, and Daniel Jones, he'll come in midway through the season to take over. They had to get old Eli out of there. Cleveland Browns beat the Indianapolis Colts 21-18. Of course, we're not going to see Baker. You know, we're not going to see Landry. We're not going to see those guys. You know, like I said about everybody else, why? Why play your big-time guys and risk hurting them, you know, risk them getting hurt for the season? That wouldn't be good. So they're doing the right thing by sitting them out. Then my boys, the Patriots, they beat the Tennessee Titans. And to me, this preseason for the Patriots, the bright spot has been the rookie quarterback out of Auburn, Jarrett Stidham. In my opinion, he should take the number two spot from Brian Hoyer, who's one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL, with Nathan Peterman. Brian Hoyer is a horrible quarterback. But I can't say nothing. I'm not a quarterback playing in the NFL. He is. But if Tom Brady was to go down, Patriots would lose. Well, let's say Tom Brady get hurt game three. I truly believe the Patriots would lose the rest of the games of the season. Unless they put in Jerry. I believe Stidham can win more games than Brian Hoyer. So if I was them, I would cut it down to two quarterbacks, not have three, and I would use that spot to get like another tight end because they're going to need a tight end or another receiver. Keep one of the receivers that's balling because they got a lot of receivers that's playing good for them right now in this preseason. Okay, we already know that Edelman has his wide receiver spot. Matthew Slater has his wide receiver spot because he's the best special teamer. He happens to be a wide receiver too. So he'll have his spot. And I think the team only keeps like 5 wide receivers. So you have Edelman. You have Slater. You have Josh Gordon's coming back. He's been reinstated, which is going to be bad news for all the Patriot haters and everybody out there that tired of seeing the Patriots win. Josh Gordon coming back is going to be a good thing. But we got to see if he can keep his head on right and stay off the drugs or whatever he's doing. So I guess you really can't have much faith in Josh Gordon until you see him actually complete a whole season. So I'm not going to get too happy, but he has been reinstated. So, okay, let's say, you know, the spot, he's going to have a spot. you know, as long as he don't do anything stupid. So you got Edelman, Josh Gordon, Matthew Slater. Then they just drafted the first round draft pick, N'Keal Harry, who's having an up and down training camp and preseason. Then you got this kid that's been killing named Jacoby Myers. He's been killing. I mean, making all the catches, making all these touchdowns. He had a touchdown in this game against the Titans. He had a touchdown in the game last week against Detroit. And he had two against Detroit. So I think he's going to, you know, latch on and have a spot. That's five right there. You know, then you got the other guy, Maurice Harris. He's been playing pretty good. Then they still got Demaryius Thomas that's on the pup list. But I would let him go. You know, like I was saying about the Achilles injuries, you don't come back right from that. He tore his Achilles. I don't think he's going to have no explosiveness no more. So Demaryius Thomas probably be on the out. And they just released Dontrell Inman today. They had him. He asked for his release, and the team granted it. So, yeah, they kind of got a log jam at the wide receiver spot. And they need a tight end. You know, Ben Watson is going to be suspended the first four games. Then they got the Matthew Lacoste guy. And that Ryan Izzo out of Florida State from last year. But none of these tight ends are like, I mean, you can't expect another tight end that comes to this squad to be Gronk. But you just want him to be effective as far as blocking and, you know, pass catching. And I think Ben Watson is probably – well, they got the Lance Kendricks guy, too, that used to play from – he played for the Saints and he played for Green Bay. For what I hear, he didn't look too hot in the preseason game last night against the Titans. And he probably has the most experience out there. He does have the most experience out there for all the tight ends besides Ben Watson. But all the other tight ends they have, he has the most experience. So you expect him to be able to, you know, block at a decent, you know, rate and be able to catch the ball at a decent rate. But they saying that he didn't look too good last night. So, you know, the Patriots need to worry about getting a tight end for those first four games. I mean, when Ben Watson come back, I think they'll be fine. But they need to get somebody for the first four games. One of these guys is going to have to produce, and I don't know if they will. And truthfully, I honestly believe Gronkowski is going to come back. I do. I think it'll be towards the end of the season where Rob Gronkowski will come back, and it'll be the perfect scenario, man. Get a healthy Rob Gronkowski. You get a Josh Gordon that's clear his head and able to finish out the whole season. Dude, Patriots will be right there again, man. Right there in the AFC Championship game. Game away from going to Super Bowl. It doesn't matter who's going to be there with them. Will it be the Chiefs? Will it be the Chargers? If Melvin Gordon go back to the Chargers and stop holding out, I think it's going to be the Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to be right there with the Patriots. Winner go to the Super Bowl. I want to put the Colts there, but for some reason, Andrew Luck, he's brittle. He can't stay healthy. Andrew Luck always hurt now. So I can't put the Colts there. I mean, the Colts are going to go as far as Andrew Luck take them. And Andrew Luck can't stay healthy. They might end up going out the first round. And I think their division is going to be the craziest. I mean, I think the Titans are going to be better. As long as Mariota don't go down the notch. If Mariota can continue to raise his game, then the Titans are going to be right there. I think that the Texans definitely going to be good. Because I expect Deshaun Watson to be back the way he was when he played his rookie year. Because when you tear your ACL, you need a full season to come back to the way you were. I mean, it's not as bad as tearing your Achilles. You can come back from ACL and, you know, regain your explosiveness and all that stuff. And I think Deshaun Watson going to have that. So I think that division will be between the Colts, maybe the Titans, depending on Mariota, and Deshaun Watson and the Texans. But, like I said, we need Luck to stay healthy. And, you know, we need Deshaun Watson to play at that level he played his rookie season for that type of season to happen in that AFC South. And I think Nick Foles is good enough to get a, you know, get a couple surprises and surprise a few teams and things like that, but I don't know if there's going to be a lot around him. I mean, you're going to have Leonard Fournette, but who do you got the wide receiver spot besides that Keelan Cole guy? And I think they got another wide receiver that's pretty decent, but they really don't have a lot of players. And then I would like to see how Nick Foles is going to do for a whole season, not just like a four-game playoff run or half a season. I want to see what Nick Foles do for the full season. So, like I said, that AFC South is going to be fun, but we need Andrew Luck to, you know, get healthy and stay healthy. And I just don't know what's happening. You got the Chiefs and the Steelers. Steelers win 17-7. Patrick Mahomes was out there for a few throws. I saw that. Their offense really, you know, they went down the field and they just was able to muster up a field goal. Roethlisberger didn't play. It was all Mason Rudolph. And they ended up winning 17-7. The Texans beat the Lions 30-23. And you had the Cowboys beat the Rams 14-10. And then today, the Saints and the Chargers, they play. And then the Vikings and the Seahawks play. And the Broncos and 49ers play tomorrow. And that's going to end basically week three of the NFL preseason. But like I said, man, I'm ready for the real games to come around. It's taking too long. I want to see the real football, see the real players out there, see some real hits. Even though the NFL kind of like toning down on everything, penalizing everybody for hitting and not as past interference rule, everybody like tripping about it already, saying it's going to mess the season completely up. I hope not. But I'm ready for NFL Red Zone to come back too. I'm going to take a break. And then when I come back, I'm going to talk a little baseball. Got to see what's going on in the MLB. We're about a month away from the playoffs. And see where my Atlanta Braves stand. If you guys got your favorite teams out there, who you root for? The Cubs? There's a lot of Cubs fans around here. The Reds? The Reds not going to do anything, though. The Reds not going to make the playoffs or anything. Sorry about that, Cincinnati Red fans.
Drop two tracks. Hey, somebody done gassed him up. Let me go ahead and burp this little nigga. Look, I've been a cold-blooded assassin. Swear I don't just put the ball in the basket. I'm from the zone, nigga, who you been asking? I said your name a couple weeks ago, you been in the casket. And now you trying to rise up, I see you faking the passion. I'm finna turn this game down and attempt change. I'm that main or that man or that mean. Whatever you want, nigga, I'm that clean. You dropped two songs, whatever that mean. You shoulda did one, them niggas was gassing. And I ain't rocking with them folks that thought it was over. I'm finna sign with State Farm and put you out of your stroller. I run the game like PlayStation, going to pass the control. I'm on the track with high energy, you lacking the motor, little nigga. Clown. Nah, never that. Put some respect on my shoe. Now I might ruffle up some feathers, but I'm just telling the truth. Without that Wayne verse, you just another nigga in the booth. Said it's just rap, but when I'm done, don't try to call the truth. Try and run it up and double up this money to the roof. Money man, I know you rich. 100 mil, that big bank and little bank stuff don't work. I understand what you was doing. You been on my nuts since Duke, and I'm a fan. That don't make sense. I think you need to find a better plan. I used to do your little 4-bar challenge every Friday, but you ain't dropped no hits, so man, I had to do it my way. My name is Dame Dollar, and I'm hard. I claim that I'm better than MB3, but no, I'm not. That's clown flow. I come and snatch your bag of downs, don't make a sound, bro. You try to bring my pops into it, let's get down, no. You really try to put me all on the spot. Man, you've been quiet for some time, I think I'm making you hot. Adidas did sit some days, but I thought they was whack. As soon as I opened the box, I sent them sits right back. I had to hop over the Puma, now my pocket is fat. Man, I was working, and y'all know I was gonna get right back. I'm done.
All right, that was Marvin Bagley. If you don't know who he is, he played for the Sacramento Kings. He's going into his third year now. This season coming up will be his third year. But he played at Duke. Him and my man Damian Lillard had like a rap beef going on here this summer. And, you know, Damian Lillard, that's my guy, man. I like him on the court. I like him on the mic, too. But young Bagley got him on that one. But Dame ended up making two tracks about him. And I like one of Dame's tracks about him. The other one was all right. But Bagley got him on that one, man. It's pretty cool little rap battle. So now I want to talk about the MLB a little bit. Okay, today's game, just a quick MLB rundown. The Boston Red Sox beat the Orioles 13-7. You had your Cleveland Indians beating the Evil Empire, New York Yankees 8-4. You had the Padres beating the Phillies 3-2. The Mariners up in the Blue Jays 7-0. The Tampa Bay Rays eked out a close one against the Tigers 5-4. Cardinals, another close one with the Cincinnati Reds, 5-4. Cardinals, my Braves, man, wow. They beat the damn Dodgers 5-3. The team that they just do not beat. They don't beat them when it matters most. Playoffs, the Dodgers wax the Braves, man. They always beat them in the playoffs. In the last 2 years, they put the Braves out of the playoffs. So, you know, I guess I can't get too happy about them winning 5-3 today. It's not playoffs. If they match up in the playoffs, then the Dodgers got the best record in MLB. They probably wax the Braves in the playoffs again. I mean, I hope not, but that's the one team I do not want to see in the playoffs as an Atlanta Braves fan. The Nationals doubled up the Brewers 16-8. The Mets put it on the Royals 11-5. The Twins doubled up the Rangers 6-3. The Rockies barely beat the Marlins 7-6. And my favorite American League team, the Chicago White Sox, got dusted 9-2 by the LA Angels. Houston Astros, who's always dangerous, they beat the Athletics 4-1. The Giants, one of the hottest teams in the league, they got smoked 6-1 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. And all you Cubs fans, you're beating the Pittsburgh Pirates 5-0 right now in the top of the fifth. So that's a quick MLB rundown of the games that happened today and the games that's going on right now. So now look at the standings, because like I said, we're like a month away from the MLB playoffs starting. Really, the only time where I can watch baseball is when the playoffs are going on. Other than that, I can't watch a full game. Not like I used to when I was younger. I can't do a full game. So the playoff time is really the time where I, you know, sit down, enjoy a full baseball game. Unless I'm there. If I'm at the game, then, you know, of course I'm going to watch the whole game because I paid my money to go see it. But we'll start from the AL East. You got the Evil Empire, the New York Yankees, 83-43. So 40 games above 500, 49-28 home, 34-23 away. Out of their last 10 games, they 7-3. Wow, I didn't know the Tampa Bay Rays is this good. Wow, Tampa Bay Rays, 73. I mean, they're 10 games back, 9.5 games back, but I didn't think that they would be 21 games over 500. 73-52, 9.5 games back. Wow, they road record is better than their home record. Their home record is 33-29. On the road, the Rays are 40-23. And just like the Yankees, out of their last 10 games, they won 7. And you got the champions. I don't think it's going to be a back-to-back champion season this year for the Boston Red Sox. But they're in third, 67-59. They're 16 games back, so they're basically fighting for a wild card spot. 33-32 at home, that's not good for a championship team. But they're pitching. The Red Sox pitching is what's killing them. 34-27 on the road. And now they last 10 games, they won 7-2, just like the Rays and the Yankees. So, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Rays really have to, like, go on the slide. The Yankees are damn near have to, like, completely bomb for the Red Sox to catch them. Like I said, the Red Sox are 16 games back of the Yankees and 9.5 back. Well, not 9.5, but about 7.5 back of them. The Rays. Okay. And I'm not even going to say the whole thing for the other two teams. The Blue Jays, 52-75. And then the Orioles rounding up that AL East, 39-85. That's horrible. All right. So then you got the AL Central. And you got the Minnesota Twins. Who shot me this year? I didn't think the Twins would be good. I didn't. I thought the Cleveland Indians would own this division like they normally do. But the Twins are leading it. They're only leading by 2.5 games, so the Indians caught them. But they 76-48. And they have a better away record. 40-22 on the road, 36-26 at home. You got the Cleveland Indians at 74-51, 2.5 games back, so they still got a chance, definitely still got a chance to win the division and knock the Twins into one of those wild card spots. But right now, Indy's in one of those wild card spots. And then third, got my White Sox, who 20.5 games in back of the Twins for that first place spot. White Sox 55-68. You got the Royals at 44-80. You got the Tigers bringing it up the rear, 37-84. All right, so then you got the AL West, Houston Astros, who's always in the mix, 79-46. Look at that home record, 43-15. That's how it's supposed to be. You should have a better home record than you do away, and their away record is 36-31. Out of their last 10, not so hot. They only won 4 out of their last 10. Then you got the Oakland A's at 71-53 behind them. 7.5 games back, 40-24 at home, 31-29 away. They won 6 out of their last 10. Then you got the LA Angels, 62-64, 17.5 games back of the Astros. And their home record is 33-31, road record 29-33, won 6 out of their last 10. Then you got the Rangers at 60-64. And you got the Mariners following up the rear, 52-73. And I remember back in the day when the Mariners were good, man. Back when they had, man, I actually love their team. They had Ken Griffey Jr., Jay Buhner, Edgar Martinez. They had a squad, man. Randy Johnson pitching. I don't understand how they didn't make it to a World Series. And I thought one of them years they would have made it to a World Series, but unfortunately they didn't. All right, so then you got the NL, National League, the NL East. And they go my Braves. Wow. I didn't know the Nationals caught up like that. Braves are only up 5.5 games, man. The Braves were up double digits. I don't know what the hell happened. And they about even. 36-27 at home, 38-25 on the road. That's about the same. 6 out of their last 10, they won 6. Nationals, 67-56, 5.5 games back. They still got plenty of time to catch the Braves and win this division. They 36-26 at home, 31-30 on the road. 7 out of their last 10 games they've won. So they kind of got a hot streak going. I thought it was going to be the Phillies that was going to be challenging the Braves. The Phillies are 9 games back of the Braves for that first spot. And truly, they still got a chance too. And the Braves go on the slide. But the Phillies are 64-60, 38-28 on the home, at home, 26-32 on the road. Then you got the Mets, 64-60, the same record as the Phillies. So actually, the Mets got a chance too. One of these teams going to get a wild card spot. And one of these teams got a chance of catching the Braves. And I think the Nationals probably got the best. I don't see the Braves going on like a complete slide to like mess up their whole season. So if the Nationals can't catch them, nobody will. And the Marlins bring up the rear at 45-78. Okay, so then we go to the NL Central, where a lot of you Cub fans, you know, root for. The Cardinals, they only a half a game up on the Cubs, so the Cubs are right there. Cardinals are 65-57, 34-23 at home, 31-34 on the road. They won 7 out of the last 10. Then you got the Cubs at 65-58, literally a half a game back. 41-19 at home. That's a great home record. 24-39 on the road. That's not so great. They won 4 out of their last 10. Then you got the Milwaukee Brewers. This division is probably the most competitive division. Milwaukee Brewers are 2 games in back of the league. 64-60. 36-26 at home. 28-34 on the road. Won 6 out of the last 10. Even the Reds are 7.5 games back. 58-65, 7.5 games back of first, 35-30 at home, 23-35 on the road, won 4 out of their last 10. The Pirates are probably the one team that's out of it for sure at 51-71. They're 20 games below 500, so they have no shot. Then you got the NL West, where the Dodgers are ruling, man. Dodgers 82-44. I mean, that's a sick record, man. 82-44. 48-16 at home. Look at that home record. That's ridiculous. 34-28 on the road. They won 6 out of their last 10 games. Second place is the Giants at 18.5 games back, man. That is crazy. They might well just go ahead and just give the Dodgers the division title now, man. I wonder how many games they have to win to get this. How many more games left over they have to win to get this division? If they win the next 10 games, they win the next 8 to 10 games, man. They got to just go ahead and just give them this division title because there's no way nobody's going to catch them. So the Giants 18.5 games back. They 63-62. They won 7 out of the last 10 games, but that's still no good. Then you got the Diamondbacks at 62-63, 19.5 games back. They got a better away record than they do home record. Their away record is 34-32. Their home record is 28-31. Then you got the Padres at 58-65, and you got the Rockies at 57-67. But the thing that's about the Dodgers, though, it don't matter how they do in the regular season. They have good regular seasons, but they always lose in the World Series or the playoffs. They always do. So, you know, would the Dodgers be able to change their luck this year? I don't know. I just know I don't want my Braves to play them because for whatever reason, they got the Braves number and getting kind of tired of seeing my Braves lose them. So, guys, I'm about to end today's show. I want to thank you for listening. I'll be doing it again on Thursday, back on my normal schedule. Like I said, it's been kind of hectic. I haven't been able to get on much, but now that I got established and situated, I'll be back on my regular schedule. So Thursdays and Saturdays, questions and answers, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. Thank you, and have a good night, y'all.
Questions and answers, baby.
Amateur bars, man. Grown man bars is something you gotta deal with. So all that elaborated, fabricated, ain't gonna equal up to this real shit.
The things we do for the glitz and the glamorous. Follow back to like pics from your camera. About to pass cause you still in a pamper, bruh. And I never seen Floyd spar with amateurs. So this the one and only time I'm picking up the phone. I'm the type to keep receipts and to be left alone. I was raised to always keep the family feud at home. On the set, I'm about to teach you how to set the tone. Where I'm from, big bank, take little bank. I'm a couple hundred mil, it's a field day. Don't respect it, it's not an issue to check it. Never really competed, but you boys getting reckless. I can tell this wasn't really what you wanted, though. Should've DM'd me again, what you wanna know? Say I'm lying, I put it out for the public. Ask about my third album before the...